Welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Kieran.
Hello.
And Harry.
Hello.
Today we're going to be talking about rumors of an upcoming PlayStation Showcase, the latest on Hollow Knight Silksong. Could it actually be happening? Could it be imminent? And Tales of Kenzera Zao as well. If I start off the bat, have I pronounced that correctly?
I think you
Tales
did, yeah.
Tales of Kenzera Zao. Excellent. Cool.
I believe you did.
But first, I want to talk about what you guys are playing, because this is often a topic I dig out when we're maybe light on news, or it's been a little while since we've kind of got together and I'm eager to kind of catch up. But I'm kind of genuinely curious at the moment because I sort of feel like I'm in need of some inspiration. I am like struggling to kind of find a game that like really kind of resonates with me and gets its like hooks in me right now. And I'm wondering if you guys are feeling the same or if you've maybe kind of got something that you're like totally absorbed by that I'm missing out on. Harry, maybe we'll start with you. Like what are you playing at the moment? Give me some advice.
Yeah, there were sort of two games I've been playing for the last couple of weeks. I picked up Dragon's Dogma 2 when that came out and played probably 10 or so hours of that.
Okay.
And put it down for no reason other than like there was other stuff that I started that came out a while ago that I felt like I needed to get back to. So I wrapped up Infinite Wealth last night, which I had a great time with overall. I was a bit sour on the ending, but like it's still another fantastic RGG experience. They just keep knocking it out the park. And the other game that I've been playing is Unicorn Overlord, which is Vanillaware's new game.
Right.
That came out like early last month. And that is fantastic, like incredible. One of the best strategy RPGs I've played. I was saying to Kieran the other day that it's probably tied for Game of the Year, or my Game of the Year, with Rebirth at the moment.
Wow.
So yeah, that has been really, really good.
I sort of feel like if you're a JRPG fan, like it's a great time to be alive right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. The start
Which
of this
is,
year for JRPGs.
Unfortunately, I've
been
not
wanted.
I was going to say, like, Ewan's looking for recommendations. I don't think Unicorn Overlord is.
I just don't fall into that camp, unfortunately. Like, I was playing Rebirth. I made good headway in there, but Kieran, like, heard my tirade the other day when I was like, why am I at this beach?
Yeah, all these
like,
mini games
doing,
and stuff. Yeah.
doing all these mini games to get beach tokens to buy beach clothes. Like, let me get back to the action. So in my frustration, I started dabbling. I played a bit of Rise of the Ronin, and then I was just like, I just felt like I was going from grueling boss fight to grueling boss fight, and little was like keeping me interested in the game. Otherwise, like there was not much variance to the side missions. The story wasn't grabbing me. I'm like, why am I subjecting myself to this?
Mm.
I will say Dragon's Dogma 2, promising signs. I'm only early in the game, but like, I kind of just did the part last night. Where you're fighting the Cyclops and like you're kind of coming across like,
yeah.
your first kind of boss fight, and that kind of pretty soon after like giving a taste of the dragon battle, I was like, okay, I'm liking what this game is putting down, so I think I need to give that one a bit more time still.
Yeah.
I was getting a little bit frustrated by the combat initially because I just wanted to like lock onto some enemies and do some dodging. That didn't seem to be an option available to me. But yeah, promising signs there. Kieran, what about you? Have you got any recommendations?
Balatro.
Yep. Yep, that still a lot of. And Dragon's Dogma 2 as well. I don't think I'm making much headway in the story because I've just, like, every time I play it, I just find myself distracted by something. Mm. Which, like, after, like, doing heaps of reviews and stuff, like, it's nice to just take a game slow.
Yeah.
And, like, play it at a proper pace and, like, kind of just let myself enjoy it, which has been really good.
Yeah, I think the best thing I can say about it at the moment as well, right? Like, it gives me kind of Skyrim-y sort of vibes, or maybe even like Witcher 3 vibes, where it presents a side quest to you, but it kind of feels like this like sense of urgency to it, and it kind of makes the point that like you can save up and bank up your quests, but they may not be available to you later, or
yeah,
it might
you wanna do
like,
it then
be
and then.
Different by the fact that you're waiting. And so even, you know, when a soldier's gone missing, I feel compelled to go out and try and find them, because if I leave it much longer, they're going to be a corpse.
Yeah. And you also know, like, you also really get the sense that, like, a lot of the things you do, if you do them when they're there, like, it's going to benefit you later as well. Like,
yeah,
that soldier will probably show up somewhere in a later quest and make that quest easier or different. Like, it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even like I came across this girl like to that side of a potion store. Like again, if you played the intro, like this will be very familiar to you, I'm sure. But I was like, is she gonna kind of become sort of evil witch with this potion that I'm giving her? Is she gonna come back and bite me, or is she actually gonna come in and like save the day?
Is it just like the dried fruit or whatever? Like
yeah.
You're like, trust her. This is sinister.
I don't know this world. Maybe she's like shape-shifting kind of evil witch. I don't know. So yeah, anyhow, early signs for Dragon's Dogma. Did you have something else you wanted to mention?
What else have I been playing? I feel like there was content warning. I played a bit of the last couple of nights. Like a little bit with friends, but mostly just with randoms. And like, if you've ever looked at a game like Lethal Company or like any of those games and been like, I don't have enough like friends who are committed to play this or whatever, like download this game and just like jump in, because the, like the experience with strangers is so good.
Oh, okay. So does it like how does, I must admit, I'm not kind of like, I've seen it kind of doing the rounds on TikTok and stuff, but I'm not really sure like how it works. Is it
so like, Essentially, the premise is, like, it's kind of like a parody of Lethal Company. So, like, in the way that those games get popular because of the viral videos that are, like, generated out of, like, what people do in them. So, the idea in this game is to make those viral videos. So, you, like, you and, like, up to three other people, like, go, like, into this, like, underground with just, like, procedurally generated, like, spooky shit. And one of you has a camera. The other one's, like, holding torches. You can unlock some other stuff, like boom mics and stuff as well. And you just kind of go down there and you just try to film scary shit with like a limited amount of film, a limited amount of battery. And then you like have to escape with the film that you've recorded back up to the surface and like upload it to SpookTube, it's called. And then you make money and then the money gets you upgrades and you just like, that's like the cycle.
Amazing.
So it's just like, yeah, it's very funny. Like the spooky shit that happens just comes out of nowhere. And it's very funny when you like catch it properly on film, or if you like miss it. And you just end up uploading a video of just like blank hallways and stuff because you ran out of film. Like everything that happens is just like procedurally just funny. So I think it's like $11. It was free for the first 24 hours, but if you missed it, it's like $11. It's like nothing.
Yeah, I'm looking at it on Steam now. It's $11.79.
Yeah,
very affordable.
So well worth checking out. And
also it's got like a matchmaking element to it as well. I guess
it has matchmaking. Yeah, so you can just drop in and people turn up. But yeah, nice. that I've been playing a bit of, and a little bit of Rock Band 4 with the Riffmaster.
I was speaking to Shannon last night as he was playing Rock Band as well. It's amazing.
Yeah,
what world are we living in where that's a normal thing we do again?
Yeah, it's so good.
Is it good, the controller? Do you like it
so far? Yeah, it works like you'd expect. The game picked it up right away. It feels good to play. Like, it folds up nicely. It's good, yeah.
Yeah, I love that it just kind of collapses down. It, like, all snaps together in the assembly of it as well. It's kind of like a high-tech, high-tech piece of gear, really.
Yeah, yeah.
An analog stick on it as well? I don't think we've had
analog stick, which is really cool. Yeah, I think on the box it says, like, analog stick patent pending. So, like, they've obviously, like... invented the idea
of putting an analog stick on a guitar.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's crack on then with the rest of the show and some news that we've got to talk about. Thank you very much for those recommendations. And we spoke about it before that we started recording, Kieran, but of Love and Eternity as well. I downloaded that demo. It looks like a really cool lo-fi horror game.
I'm glad I randomly came across that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, okay, cool. This is good. I feel like I've got a bit of a list to go through now. All right. The first bit of news I want to chat about today is the big PlayStation showcase that is rumored to be taking place next month. The word showcase always gets me going. I love when that's tacked on behind, particularly the word PlayStation. Obviously, it's kind of suggests it's going to be a bigger sort of thing than a state of play, but this news comes the way of frequent leaker Jeff Grubb, who indicated something size was shaping up in May. It wasn't clear if it was a showcase versus a state of play, but something kind of bigger than the ordinary, I suppose. Given Silent Hill 2 was recently rated by the ESRB as well, it's thought a release date could be confirmed for the game, so that's kind of the first inkling as to what we might be about to see. Harry, I'm going to come back to you on this. Assuming this is the case, is there anything in particular you would like to see from PlayStation, or would a Silent Hill 2 release date kind of be enough for you?
Yeah, a Silent Hill release date would be cool. I have to admit, like, I haven't actually played Silent Hill 2. I played the first game. I need to play 2. So, like, the remake isn't something that's, like, particularly on my radar until I played the original, at least.
You want to play the original Silent Hill 2 before...
Yeah, I do.
The remake?
I do.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe... What, sorry?
I said you want to ruin the remake for yourself ahead of time. Maybe. Playing the better version.
I mean, because I started playing Silent Hill 1 before 2 Remake was confirmed, and I was really surprised at how much I enjoyed Silent Hill 1. Like, it holds up really well for a PS1 game. So, yeah, everyone says that 2 is better, so I'm really interested to see what that's like. In terms of what else I would like to see, I think something Spider-Man adjacent would be cool. Either some DLC for 2 or this Venom game that is meant to be coming at some point soon. But I don't know how realistic that is given, you know, we're only 6 months out from release for the second game. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of hope that we see more of what this year has in store from PlayStation. Like, it still feels kind of pretty light on at this point in time. I still sort of feel like it's kind of too early to see, like, a Wolverine. Ghost of Tsushima 2, I sort of feel like still could be on the cards. But I'm kind of, I don't know, less sure of that one than I perhaps was, like, at this point last
year. I'm really uncertain. I don't think we'll get a big, like, Sony AAA game this year, like we have the last few years with Spider-Man and Ragnarok. I'm sure we'll get something, but I don't think they'll have, like, a hallmark kind of title that everyone is going to be talking about and wanting to get.
Yeah, just the fact, like, if it is indeed a showcase, I kind of hope that we would see something. Even if it's kind of like some sort of...
Yeah, Metal Gear as well.
Yeah, it could well be sort of Metal Gear kind of slotting in to later this year alongside Silent Hill. That would make a lot of sense. You're right. What about yourself, Kieran? Have you got any wish list of sorts?
I just want a new Astrobot. I want them to, like...
Oh, yeah.
I want them to, like, reveal the PS5 Pro at this showcase and then be like, yeah, the free launch game is, like, Astrobot, but it's, like, 8K ray tracing, like, fucking, you know, every like, facet of his, like, metallic body is just reflecting the world. Like, I just want, like, that to be, like, what they lead with, like they did with the PS5 as, like, the pack-in game. I think that would be really cool.
It totally didn't occur to me that this could well be, like, the PS5 Pro announced. So that makes a lot of sense, I reckon.
Yeah, I feel like if they weren't going to announce it at this, they probably are now, or at least acknowledge it.
Yeah, I feel like we're getting more and more news about the PS5 Pro sort of by the day as well.
Yeah.
Like, there was kind of all of the spec stuff that we spoke about last week. I noticed this week there was discussion about, like, labels being put onto games that are PS5 Pro enhanced.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
makes a lot of sense, and it's kind of much in the same way they approach the PS4 Pro as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like a done deal, actually. You've sold me.
Yeah. I feel like maybe even a similar thing with Insomniac after they kind of had that big leak, we may even just see, like, a sizzle reel of, like, you know, here's a little bit of a Wolverine tease, here's a Venom tease, here's, like, kind of what we're working on in the future, just because they know it's already all out there.
Yeah, there's like, no they point might, in, like, hiding it, right? Well,
yeah, like, kind of face it and be like...
And the timeline for Venom wasn't too long after, too, right? Like, it was a year and a, like, half or something, similar to Miles Morales. Like, yeah.
So...
Yeah. Where do you think, like, Summer Games Fest kind of slots into all of this? Because if this is kind of taking place, I guess it depends on how sizable it really is, but it'd only be 2 months kind of before the big kind of Summer Game Fest typical showcase event. Do you think it is then maybe kind of a bit more conservative come July, or the other way around?
I hope that it is. I hope that, like... Because obviously Ubisoft just confirmed that they've got a thing happening for around Summer Game Fest. I just, like, it doesn't make sense to me to keep putting things in that month anymore.
No.
Now that E3's, like, gone. Like, Summer Game Fest is cool, like, that event itself, but I don't like clustering all the other ones around it, just, like,
everything else is around that.
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't make sense. Yeah. I feel
they
like
can kind of, like, own the news cycle in a week of their own.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like if you've got the stuff to show, which, like, if this is real, then Sony obviously has the stuff to show.
Mm.
Like, get it out there rather than kind of just dive into this, like, murky, like, everyone's announcing everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of hope they still have some sort of presence in, like, the Summer Games Fest showcase or, like, the opening night live, whatever it's called. Like,
Keely loves a bit of a PlayStation exclusive. So.
Yeah. 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 So, maybe we kind of see... I don't know. I'm getting my hopes up, but maybe we see more of like what Sony Bend are up to, kind of within that sort of context or that level of an announcement.
Yeah.
We spoke about it a bit last week, but I was listening to the Kind of Funny guys kind of talking more about what Sony Bend could be up to and whether or not they kind of picked up the Last of Us factions from Naughty Dog and continued it on there. Part of me really wishes that was true. I kind of hope that would happen.
It could be.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
You also have like Bungie as well. Like Marathon should be getting some new info soon as well.
Yeah.
And if the showcase is next month, it's a month before the final shape, which Bungie is starting to ramp up on marketing next week. So,
do you reckon they talk about what's next before putting that out?
As in Marathon or Destiny?
Well, Bungie, like, specifically. Do they
talk about it? Well, I mean, I don't think they're really... This hero shooter that they've had in the works for a while, I don't think we're going to hear about for some time. Like, their focus for Bungie right now, squarely, is on Marathon and the Final Shape.
Yeah.
And the Final Shape is June. I think they said Marathon is, like, next year. But I think they were targeting next year, but they weren't sure. But I know that they wanted to do a lot of testing and stuff. And I don't know if that was the end of this year or early next year. But I wouldn't be surprised if we got something Marathon adjacent in this showcase, even if it's just like another teaser trailer or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, excited for it if it's true. Yeah, like I said, keen to see what PlayStation have planned for the rest of the year, because it does feel a little light on at this point in time. Speaking of things that we haven't really kind of heard much about, though, and hope to see more of before the end of the year is upon us, Hollow Knight Silksong has been raided in South Korea and appears on the Xbox store. I can't remember, like, a game that's kind of been more will they, won't they since The Last Guardian, personally. Like,
I feel like there's something every 2 months with Hollow Knight where it's like, it's been raided here, oh, it's on the storefront here, and then it gets taken down, or it's in some database or something. It happens all the time.
I was kind of reading up about it before and was reminded that it was announced back in 2019. And I was like, I swear it was like longer ago than that. But actually, 2019 was 5 years ago now. We're in 2024. That really crept up on me. Kieran, what should we kind of infer from this week's news around Hollow Knight Silksong? Do you think it is imminent?
Should infer and want to infer are two different things.
You and I are the same, huh?
The fact that I've played this as well, like at PAX, is like wild to me.
Which would have been like five years ago. Like, it wasn't a behind closed door thing.
It was like on the Nintendo booth. Yeah. Like, it was like a random, unreal. And like nobody was playing it. It was like
that when
there.
It was planned to be an expansion, though? Or
Yeah. I think it was, yeah.
I've forgotten about that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild.
It's a full sequel now, like...
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I think like, when kind of people started noticing that it went up on the Xbox store, my initial reaction was, like, cool, like, stuff... Like, it's already on the PlayStation Store and Steam and stuff. Like,
it was probably sat on someone's to-do list and they just gone, like, I've got a bit of a quiet day.
but then, like the ID at Xbox account retweeting it, Sarah Bond retweeted. It's like stuff like that. I'm like, either they know something or they're just, like, playing off of like everyone's...
And like, some of the devs themselves, right? Like, tweeted about
it,
too.
I think they're, like, their marketing lead or whatever, like, said something about it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know. That kind of felt weird.
That gives it a whole lot more kind of credibility than I think it otherwise would have.
A little bit, yeah.
Like, just the fact that that sort of happened, it just kind of feels like marketing machinations kind of like spinning up again. Maybe kind of in the lead up to like that July sort of period that we typically see the announcements.
Yeah, I can see this being like the next like big Game Pass shadow drop, to be honest.
Yeah.
Of them just coming out either during a showcase or like out of the blue and being like, here it is.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I can see that happening for sure. Harry, like, given it has kind of been so long, and I suppose the game has kind of, as we've discussed, kind of evolved over time too, has your expectations for it changed in any way? Is your kind of wish list for the game changed in light of other entries in the genre that we've seen in the time since it was announced?
Not really. I still think Hollow Knight is probably the best indie Metroidvania, maybe tied with, like, Axiom Verge. It's just, like, so fantastic. And I don't think that... all I really want is more of that with Silksong.
Okay.
And, like, sort of a cool kit to interface with, like, playing as Hornet and things like that. If there's one thing that I kind of expect or rather hope for, given, like, how long it's been, is a shadow drop. I hope that when we do get more info on it or the next trailer or whatever it is, that it's coming out that day. Because, like, if we get a trailer and then it's like, yeah, it's out in 6 months, like... It'd be a little, not a bummer, but like it would just be really cool to have the wait just come to a grinding halt like that and the game is just out. They did the same thing with Axiom Verge 2 as well. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I have a kind of love-hate relationship with Shadow Drops. Like, and obviously it's a pleasant surprise and it's exciting when it happens. But also, with the exception of this very moment, like, I'm typically kind of budgeting my time when it comes to, like, upcoming releases. Like, right, this comes out here, and I'm gonna play it for like 2 weeks until the next game comes out, whereas, like, when a shadow drop happens, it's like, oh my god, like, this has thrown my plans into disarray. What do I do now? But yeah, I think
you need to plan to do nothing all the time.
Just, yeah.
And then you'll always have room for it.
Always room for shadow drops, huh?
Always roll the punches. Always be ready. All right. Well, speaking of side-scrolling, I don't know if Metroidvania necessarily applies. I haven't played... Yeah, Metroidvania applies. Tales of Kenzera Zao will be a day one launch for PlayStation Plus Extra. The upcoming EA Originals title will be part of the games catalog for those that kind of subscribe at those more premium levels. So most people most people, I think, is probably a fair assumption, but just at the essentials level that kind of get you access to online multiplayer, that kind of thing. But if you're paying the premium for extra and deluxe, it's going to be available to you as part of that game's catalog. Kieran, remind me, has this been done before? Have we seen a new game come out and go straight into one of these games catalogs?
Yeah, we've seen new games new to PlayStation or new to consoles drop, like Teardown.
Right.
Was one. Foam Stars is one that was brand new.
Oh, yeah.
That didn't go well, but that's an example of it.
What are you talking about?
I feel like there's a couple I'm not remembering, but yeah, it's definitely happened.
Do you think it's likely to work in the game's favor?
I think so. Especially like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's a good fit for this game specifically because it is such like a culturally rich game. And it is something that, like, from everything that I've seen from, like, the team behind it, Surgent Studios, like, interviews that they've done and like, even, like, I think it was the Game Awards where they introduced it.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like they're super passionate, and you kind of want to root for them. So I feel like giving more people access to it is a really good move.
I suppose, like, any kind of new IP as well, like, it kind of doesn't have the sort of benefit of, like, that natural kind of excitement that comes from the lineage. So, like, anything that kind of gives it a better chance of, like, being part of the conversation and drawing extra eyeballs to it as well, like, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, much in the same way, if it was coming to Game Pass, I would also kind of feel like that'd be a pretty good sort of move for it. If it just makes it more accessible to people, that's always a bonus. Harry, what are your excitement levels like for the game? Is it one you've got your eye on?
Yeah, I'm interested. I haven't played the demo, but, like, I mean, any Metroidvania that looks, like, quite polished and considered, I get pretty excited for, or at least interested to see how it lands. I think that, like, the beauty of the genre is that, like, you know, and we see it so often with indie games, like, these titles just often come out of nowhere and they're just, like, gobsmackingly good. And I think that's why people love Hollow Knight and Axiom Verge, and, like, there's an opportunity for that with this. And putting it on PS Plus Deluxe is a great way to get more eyes on it, especially given it's a genre that, like, people, like, the, like, not, well, that, you know, mainstream gamers, I guess, are more reserved. You know, they're not so willing to jump into. So, yeah. I'm really excited to see where it lands and how it plays when it comes out.
Yeah, I'm definitely kind of in a mood for this kind of style of game. Like, I loved Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. Like, I think that's probably my favorite game of the year so far. I've been meaning to get to Ultros as well, which was kind of similar side-scrolling, very kind of stylized. It's that kind of psychedelic sort of art style. I remember Brody playing that game and absolutely loving that as well. So I'm keen to find time for that. And with this one coming out too, I feel it's a pretty good year for people that love a side-scrolling Metroidvania game. Imagine if we do get Silksong as well. Be nuts.
Yeah, it'd be crazy.
Yeah, it might suddenly become a battle of finding time to play all of these. But yeah, for that reason, I'm excited for Tales of Kinzira as well. And to your point as well, Kieran, like the kind of culturally rich aspect of it as well. It's like lots that have been kind of untapped in the in the medium, I suppose. So from that aspect of it as well, I'm really keen to see what they do. What's your kind of attitude towards the EA original program as a whole? Like, I thought it's kind of like in the news this week as well, because we had It Takes Two, the sales data around that coming out, and sold something like 16 million copies. Like, kind of unreal.
It did really well.
Is EA on originals like a massive success in your mind, Kieran?
I think so. I think, like, as far as like their goals go, like their output, like there's obviously games that have done really well, and there's games that haven't done as well. Like Wild Hearts is probably a good example of one that didn't quite land.
Yeah, Immortals of Avium. Notable.
It feels like the bigger budget ones are the ones that aren't landing with them.
They're still like almost reviewed quite well though, right? Like, I seem to remember Wild Hearts having fairly positive reception despite shoddy performance. And I've heard good things about Avium as well.
Avium is really good. Yeah, but it just both of those just didn't really land. But then you get like It Takes Two, which is obviously went gangbusters.
And in the program as well, we've had A Way Out as well.
Yeah, A Way Out.
Unravel. You might have mentioned Unravel, but I liked those two games as well.
Yeah. I think in such as like making sure that these games actually get released and the creators can do what they want to do with it with them, and have that backing without being constricted by, like, you know, big publisher, even though it is EA. Like, I feel like they give the teams a lot of creative freedom and just kind of like that extra push, which is really good. So I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, I think it's produced some really good games, and it's kind of brought people into the industry that are, you know, quite notable now. And we've got some fantastic sort of games out of it, but. Yeah, I don't know if it's quite like cleaned EA's image in quite the way that they perhaps hoped it would. Like, I don't know if they've kind of necessarily earned the goodwill out of doing this that they perhaps wanted to get out of it. Maybe I'm being kind of belittling them a little bit too much in that sort of regard. But I'm pleased that they are doing this and they're kind of sticking with it, and we're getting more games with it. I kind of hope to see that continue.
It's cool that it like shine the spotlight on so many studios and projects that otherwise you know might not have seen the light of day in the way that they are. Like, there's obviously a lot of creative freedom involved in that, and I mean, props to EA for allowing development teams to be so fluid and flexible in what they produce.
It's almost even when it comes to like booking spots or presentations, right? Like, these games have received a lot of the attention.
It almost feels like they're one of the only like big AAA level publishers still doing something like this as well. Like, you look at Sony, for example.
Yeah.
They had like Media Molecule and Pixel Opus and stuff doing cool shit like Concrete Genie and Dreams and all that. And like a lot of those have just kind of like fallen aside.
It's very true.
So it's good to see that they are still keeping up with it.
And like taking risks and stuff. Like,
Yeah.
And investing in new IP as well. Like, I think that's hugely important. I kind of fear that like we'll get to the same point in the games industry. Maybe you could argue we're already there, where like it's very risk adverse and you just kind of get sequels and annualized franchises, much in the same way that like Hollywood's kind of gone, right? That would be a sad state of affairs. So EA originals, I give a lot of credit for. All right, I have a rapid fire question for the two of you. Hellblade 2 studio Ninja Theory thinks fans, quote, enjoy shorter, focused games, according to an interview between studio head Don Matthews and IGN. My question to you both, rapid fire question to you both, is do you agree? Do you enjoy shorter, focused games? Harry?
It depends on the genre, but yes, broadly.
Kieran?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah, I could not agree more. Give me more, like, shorter focus games.
Speaking of just, like, time and, like, trying to fit these games in, like, if you're asking me for an investment of, like, more than 20 hours...
Make it, like, worthwhile, yeah.
Make it worthwhile or I'm out, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I will give, like, I will give a game I'm unsure about more time if I know it's a short experience than I would a game that, like, I'm sure about but is, like, 100 hours.
Yeah. Like, I think this is just to answer your rapid fire question now. Yeah. But I think this is my problem with Rise.
Do we want shorter focused answers?
I think this is my problem with Rise of the Ronin, right? It's like, I was looking at that game going, look, I probably could, like, play this for another kind of 10 hours in the hope that I'm going to get something more out of it. But I'm like, I'm kind of like making that judgment call now that, like, I just don't think I am going to get the satisfaction out of the game that I kind of hoped I could.
Mm.
Particularly with, I think it was you, Harriet, saying you kind of really disappointed by, like, the final third or the final act of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. That was very much in my mind too. Anyhow, rapid fire, shorter focus question responses. What the Wiki is the Press Start Podcast game show with the previous week's winner. It's part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with the round concluding after someone's bagged themselves 2 points. If you get them consecutively, you get a bonus point as well, which, Kieran, I think is what you did last week, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, I feel like it's a little easier when there's only two people guessing.
Yeah, and you're up against me. Like, that certainly works in your favor. But that moved you up into second spot, tied with Shannon and myself. James still has this annoying 12-point lead. Sorry, he's on 12 points, so it's what, a 5-point lead. We really need to, like, try and close this gap whilst he is away. I don't think he's away much longer, so we need some moves.
It's on you, Ewan.
It's on me, yeah. Brody is just behind us on 6, and Harry, you are on 4. And Kieran, you are hosting today as last week's winner. Take it away when you're ready.
All right. I don't know if these are going to be easy or difficult, but there is a theme.
Okay.
There is a theme.
There is a theme.
So game number 1 is an adventure game viewed from the first-person perspective using VR, either the HTC, Oculus Rift, Oculus Quest, or PlayStation VR headset.
Mm-hmm.
The player is shown in game as a masked face and orb, and unlike most games, the main character is aware of the player. The player controls the main character, navigating environments and battling enemies. They can also manipulate the environment to navigate obstacles and solve puzzles. The main character communicates with the player through the use of American Sign Language for puzzle hints and emotional responses. The player can change positions to have different perspectives of the world, leaning around to see buildings or standing up and getting an aerial view. There are collectible scrolls that can only be found by changing positions and exploring parts of the world that normally cannot be seen. I wondered,
Ewan?
If this was going to be difficult. Ewan?
The adventure and, like, Moss thing has kind of thrown me. Is it Moss?
It is Moss.
Ah, let's go.
Oh. Very good. All right. Oh, no.
I did think maybe it was going to be Astro World?
Astrobot Rescue Mission.
Yeah.
Astrobot Rescue Mission, that was it. I did think it was going to be that for a second, but then, like, the fantasy stuff made me think.
The silence at the end of that paragraph, I was like, oh no, I fucked up. It made this too difficult.
They don't know it.
All right, game number 2. The gameplay is nearly identical to the original version of the game, aside from reworked controls. Progression through the game occurs in cycles. Beginning at a central point in a landscape, the player seeks out and defeats enemies and is returned to the central point to repeat the process. Most of these enemies are located in remote areas such as atop cliffs or within ancient structures. I'm going to read this part anyway. Players are able to choose from several options when playing. On a standard PlayStation 4, the game runs at a 1080p resolution at 30 frames per second. I don't know why this is in this bit.
Hi.
Harry.
Returnal.
No.
Oh.
PlayStation 4.
Oh no, PlayStation 4, yeah.
On a PlayStation 4 Pro, the game can run either at 1440p resolution at 30 frames per second or 1080p at 60 frames per second. The idea for a remake had come after a conversation the developers had. They wanted to create a new definitive version of the original game, and after speaking with friends at Sony Japan, it was agreed upon. Producer Randall Lowe and technical director Peter Dalton stated in an interview with Game Informer that the original was on many of their employees' top five of all-time list.
Wow. It sounds like we should know what this game is.
Oh, where do I go from here?
Remake. I'm still so hung up on, like, seeking out enemies and, like, clifftops and
I keep thinking about
ruins.
The remake's
cycles.
Development was led by Blue Point.
All right.
Oh.
Shadow of the Colossus HD.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll give you that. The Shadow of the Colossus.
Well done.
Game number three. Sorry, Ewan. No bonus point.
Nah, that's all right. I'm happy to just have 1 point. Is he strategizing? What is this?
Well, now I'm like,
pause this thinking.
Similar to its predecessors, the game is a first-person shooter set in an open-world environment which the player can freely explore on foot or via various vehicles. Unlike previous titles in the series where the player takes on the role of a set character, the game gives the player the opportunity to customize their character's appearance. The character in this game is the silent protagonist, devoid of voice dialogue or predefined personality, offering players a chance to deeply immerse themselves in the game, yet sparking concerns about the potential impact on the depth of narrative engagement.
Classic.
Yeah. Creative director Dan Hay described the design of the open world as being modded on the outposts from previous titles in the series. I'm going to skip ahead. This is terrible.
Do you reckon we should have it by now? Or is this...
Nah, I've just picked a terrible paragraph. So, here we go. Announced in early 2017, development on the game was extensive. The team explored several concepts before settling on an American location. The game was heavily inspired by several sociopolitical UN. Events. UN.
Is this Far Cry 5?
It is Far Cry 5.
Ah,
I thought it might have
thank
been.
Goodness. Did you say first person or third person?
I said first person.
First person. Okay, that was my mistake. I thought you said third person. And so I was like kind of in that mindset, but we got there.
Grueling. That was grueling.
Grueling.
What was the theme?
The theme was games that were announced at PlayStation showcases.
There you go. Yeah, honestly, that last... I think it was going fine up until that last one. And then I was like, this just sounds like any game ever. Like, yeah,
right. I was like... The last half of that paragraph that I was reading was literally the most generic shit you could have possibly, like... Yeah. It has guns. You walk around.
Yeah, Wikipedia be like that sometimes. With that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at pressart.com.au. We've been joined today by Kieran.
Yeah, you can follow me on X at @HASH_BREUN.
Joining us today was Harry.
Kieran
I'm here
too.
Twice.
Kieran too.
You can also follow me on X at @Harry_Kallo, Kallo.
And I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, happy caring. Hey, gaming.
Bye.
That was a joke.
Yeah, I got that.